Welcome to Finding Your Way Home. My name is Sherry Doherty, and I have the pleasure of being your host on Real Talk on Real Estate every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Today, I don't have a guest in studio with me, so it's just me, but buckle up. I think I'm going to share some interesting information with you, and I'm going to talk specifically about how listings go. So listings go all sorts of different ways, and they come to us as realtors in all sorts of different ways. So I thought it would be interesting to explore some of the ones that go really, really well, as in really quickly, and then some of the ones that take a really, really long time and take a lot of perseverance, and then kind of your average listing and how that's going in today's market. So let's dive right in, and I thought I would start with the ones that take a really, really long time. And I'm going to give you a specific example, kind of like a case study all the way through, you know, how did I even get this listing? What's the strategy we're deploying to get it sold? How's that going? How long has it been? All the juicy details that'll give you some insight into my world and the world of people who are trying to sell their homes. So the first example I'm going to talk about is technically not firmly sold just yet. We actually first put this house on the market in February 2025. And that's correct. I said February 2025. And it is now conditionally sold. And yes, we're at the end of August 2026. So this one's taken a really long time. I thought, therefore, it would be a great case study to discuss with everyone. We're talking about a really unique home that's in Picton, Ontario. So just to paint the picture for you, Picton is a beautiful little town right in the heart of wine country in Eastern Ontario, and it looks like a Hallmark movie set. It is a beautiful little town. It is not very far away from Sandbanks Provincial Park, which is a beautiful waterfront spot here again in Eastern Ontario. It has lots of great shops as you walk up and down the main street, lots of great coffee shops, big for artisan, and there are many, many vineyards and breweries in the area. So a really sweet spot. Right in the heart of downtown, I have a house for sale, which is a heritage home, a beautiful heritage home, which is actually technically a duplex. So most people hear duplex and they think, income opportunity or mortgage support. So whether or not you decided to open up the whole thing and live there as one large family, or if you decided to rent out part of it, then you could have an income supplement. So this is a great house. It actually, the main floor has a beautiful marble kitchen, fully modern, fully updated. Everything is fantastic, but it's really nicely blended with the heritage aspects of the home. And on that floor, there's also its own kitchen, laundry, a bedroom, and then a full living room, dining room, beautiful hardwood floors, a lovely porch deck, just like you would see in the movies. And then the way you get upstairs to the second part, which is the duplex or the second floor, would be through a connecting door that you can choose to either have open if this is going to be your entire family, or you can close it. And that person also has its own separate entrance so they can go upstairs. And upstairs, there's another full kitchen, full bathroom, full laundry, a living room, and three bedrooms. So sounds spectacular, right? I also thought so. And in February 2025, we put it on the market at $999,000. And remember, that was a different time economically. There was a lot of things not happening then that are happening now. However, that price, it seems, was too high. There just wasn't an appetite for that area at that time, at that price point. So that's okay. The market, as I like to say, is the great validator. And it will always tell you fairly quickly whether or not you've got the right product at the right time, at the right price, and we will listen and we will adjust accordingly. So at that time, we left the house on the market almost for a full year. We left it on until it expired December 31st that year, and we had reduced the price a couple of times. We were then at $899,000. We took a rest and let it sit off of the market over the winter because Picton is not the easiest place to get to in the winter, particularly if you're going over the bridge or you were thinking about the ferry. And it actually gets more heightened population and activity in the summer because it is absolutely a great spot to go to. And they have all the amenities I was talking about, as well as a great concert venue out there at Base 31. So we put it back in the market that July, and we put it back at $949.9, being optimistic again. And unfortunately, that also wasn't right. We left it on the market and it expired again that January, and we expired at $899. So then in May of 2026, so May this year, and remember that the world's not getting any better and the economy is not getting any better, nor is the real estate market. And now there's a war, and now there's tariff and trade wars, and things aren't great. So now we go back to market at $799. We did one price decrease and had it at $789, and then we got an offer. So we are very excited that someone is indeed interested in the property. It is currently conditionally sold. Now, this is one that I literally did everything short of standing on my head in the middle of the street to get it sold. It has had every type of marketing exposure. We've had multiple open houses on this one. This is the one where I think I told the funny story that seven Mrs. Ropers came to my open house, which was crazy. I rarely do open houses alone. And this is right in the middle of the city on a nice summer afternoon. So I kind of felt okay. But then it was a really weird feeling when I saw someone who was kind of oddly dressed coming up the driveway, and then saw someone right behind them who was similarly oddly dressed, and then one more. And I thought, at first glance, I thought they were clowns. And so I thought I was going to get murdered by clowns because that's where my mind went. But I realized that they were in Mrs. Roper costumes, and they were, I guess, at a Mrs. Roper festival or something that was happening fun in downtown Picton. So these ladies all came in, seven of them, dressed in these costumes. I said, well, if you're going to come to my open house, you have to give me social media content. So there's a great picture on my social media where I'm showing off that I'm there with seven Mrs. Ropers, and they gave it seven thumbs up for the house. So we've done a lot of work to get this one to where it is today. It is conditionally sold, and more contacts. The conditions are actually due to firm up tomorrow. We already realized that they're not going to, so everybody needs more time to do a couple of their due diligence items, both the seller and the buyer. So in good negotiation spirit, though, between myself and the seller's agent, we've agreed that we're going to all agree to an extension of the conditions until Friday this week. So this one's a long haul. This is a textbook case of the fact that sometimes it takes a long time. It takes a lot of perseverance. It takes a lot of strategy. It takes a lot of patience. However, you know, I'm shortly going to be able to say that it is firmly sold on a listing that we had initially listed in February 2025. So that's a great example of one that didn't go so super quickly. I have another one that I wanted to talk about that also didn't go so super quickly. I had a home and property on the market about a half an hour north of Napanee. And so in the country, beautiful 60-acre property, beautiful custom-built home by the homeowner. And so his heart and soul and passion was in this house. It was lovely. I don't have my statistics with me, but I know it was listed for over $1 million. And it's a very unique buyer who wants to buy an over $1 million property north of Napanee. It was very isolated and private and beautiful. However, that's a very unique buyer. So we were also on the market for a very, very long time. And we had renewed a few times, and it ended up that we had been on the market for 365 days. And we were coming into the fall, and so the sellers and I agreed, okay, you know what, let's let it rest. We'll take it off the market, and we will put it back on the market next spring. We'll do a pricing reassessment and see what the world is doing next spring. And interestingly enough, though, on day 366, we got an offer on that property. So the craziest stuff happens in real estate. I kid you not. It's incredible. A lot of times, you know, we're going to give it our best effort every single time and do all the good things we do to get the home sold. But sometimes it's going to be fate, universe or God that's going to make this happen, because the strangest things happen and you can actually never predict them. But on day 366, we got an offer. It was from a couple who had just seen it the weekend before. So while we were still under contract, and just for a little real estate lesson while we're talking about this one, there is something in your agreement to list with your realtor called a holdover provision. And what that means is that if someone comes along and wants to purchase the property that was introduced to the home during the term of your existing agreement with your realtor to sell it and be compensated for selling it within a certain period of time after, the realtor still gets compensated for that. So I typically have a 60-day holdover period. And how I like to paint the picture on that for people is, so imagine that someone knows that my agreement with a seller is about to expire next Sunday. And so somehow the sellers and the buyers cross paths, or they kind of realize who each other is. And the buyer approaches the seller directly and says, hey, if you want to cut the realtors out of this, why don't I come and buy it from you privately on Monday? And it'll save you a little bit of money, which is really not very nice. And apparently has happened enough times in the world of real estate that it's actually written in the boilerplate forms that ARIA has issued that there is this holdover provision to prevent that from happening, because realtors work really hard. And this is also how we support our families and put food on the table and put through kids through university and pay for weddings and things like that. So that prevents people from that. All that to say that this sold on day 366 under the holdover provision. So yes, I was compensated for it. And interestingly, it was one where, again, like I said, this was a very unique property in a unique location, but the person actually just really wanted it. And they did pay close to the asking price at that time. A really interesting twist on this one, though, is a lot of times when you are getting a mortgage, the bank is going to go out and send an appraiser to make sure that, essentially, the way I like to describe it to people is you're buying something for the bank. So they want to agree with the price that you paid for their asset. Because if you're anything like most people, 90% of your home is still currently owned by the bank. At least on day one, you're mortgaging a good chunk of it. So they want to make sure they agree with what you paid for with their money. So they'll send a bank appraiser out. And if, for example, you got overexcited, like in the time when there was bidding situations and you paid $1 million for a house the bank actually only agrees is worth $800,000, they're therefore only going to fund you the $800,000. And this is where we talk a lot about people believing they're pre-approved and therefore they don't need a financing condition. And that is completely incorrect. If you are pre-approved, you still need a financing condition because the bank has to agree with what you bought with their money. All that to say, if in that example, you paid $1 million, the bank agrees it's worth $800,000, there's a $200,000 shortfall, you have to come up with that. And most people don't have a spare pot of $200,000. So unless you had the financing condition, you would have to come up with that money if your deal had been firm. In this particular instance, the reason I bring it up is because the house actually didn't appraise for what the people paid for it. And so there was a discrepancy between what the bank thought it was worth and what they paid for the home. And the people decided to go ahead with it anyways. And typically what happens in that scenario is the buyer will come back to the seller and say, the bank doesn't agree with the price. They therefore won't fund us. So we need to renegotiate before we firm up and maybe adjust much closer to what the bank says it's worth. So it was really interesting to both me and actually the agent who was representing the buyer in this case when they just said, it's okay, this is the place that we want. We're just going to pay it and we'll make up that shortfall from the appraisal. So again, crazy, interesting things happen. And it is very unpredictable. So that's two examples of where it took a really long time to sell houses. But then other things happen. And I promise you all, I do the exact same things for every property, whether it is a starter home for $299,000 or a $1.5 million home. I use all the same tools and give houses all the same attention and exposure. And sometimes they just sell immediately, and other times they take a year. year, like we've talked about, or two in the case of the one in Picton. However, you know, we go today actually is listing launch day for another listing my team and I are putting on the market, and we're going to give it our all and use all the same tools. However, on the flip side of these examples or these case studies, we recently put a condominium on the market, and so there's something to be said, again, about the price, the product, the timing, and the strategy. And there are some places and some things in our region that don't come up very often. So they are rare gems. And when they come up, they normally sell fairly quickly because they are so unique and in such high demand. So some of the buildings in particular, we'll say the condo buildings, there are people watching the market, just waiting for a unit in a particular building to come up for sale. And that's what happened to me actually last week. So I put a beautiful unit in the Annandale building up for sale, which is a historic, beautiful condominium building that is really well kept, right down in Sydenham Ward, right across from the Spire and walking distance to the waterfront. So if you're familiar with Kingston and this area, you know this is a much sought after area. One of the things that most realtors do is we talk to each other, obviously, and a lot of things get sold advance ahead of market. So whether or not that's through our own brokerage or through Facebook groups or just through our personal connections, I'll often know things are coming to market before they even come to market and share those with other realtors, which also is one of the great reasons you should be connected to a really good realtor. And so I did that. I think it was the Sunday before we went to market. I had shared it in one of the Facebook groups that I belong with and said, if anybody has anyone who has their eye on this building, I have a unit coming up tomorrow. It's spectacular. Here's some brief details. And somebody had reached out to me and said, yeah, I want to go see it tomorrow because I have clients who have their eye on that building, which would have been the Monday afternoon. And Monday afternoon, we had an offer on the table and we had time to consider it. That's something called an irrevocable time. And I can explain that another day. However, under the irrevocable time, we had enough time that the next morning there was actually another showing. And by Tuesday afternoon, we had competing offers. So we sold that one in this market, which if anybody's following the news or the media, the condominium market is not great. I know they put a lot of attention on what's happening in the Toronto condo market. It is not great for sure. I've had some great success this year with condos, and this is a great example of a condo that literally sold within 48 hours in multiples over asking price. And so that one sold in 48 hours. And that is, I promise you, I do the same thing for that one as I did for all the others, as I did for the one that's taken a year or 2 years or even 2 months. It's just, it was an absolute fantastic, rare product. The seller was really smart about her pricing strategy and she was very realistic. And we can talk again, probably another time, about whether or not we're in a season where you should price high and think you're leaving a little bit of room for negotiation. The quick answer is no, we're not in that time. However, this seller was really smart about it and she had a beautiful offering. It was in high demand. And the story that I do love is the people who purchased it actually had been married in the Spire across the street, I think something like 55 years ago. So it was very romantic and it was very beautiful and it was a great story. Flipping to another great case study, I sold a home in the west end of Kingston last year. So kind of right behind the Cat Center in that neighborhood. I think it was say $450, maybe $499. So kind of an average price home, single family detached house, also in lovely condition. It went on the market at noon on a Friday. And by 2 p.m., I had an offer in hand with, I think, one or two simple conditions, one being home inspection and one being financing. So there wasn't that the buyer had to sell their home or anything like that. And that one sold that afternoon. So that's kind of painting the picture of the two extremes. We have ones that sometimes take a long time and a lot of strategy and a lot of patience. We have some that good luck and good fortune and a great product and great pricing is on our side and they sell quickly, sometimes in a day or two. What's typically happening right now, though, is we're going to say average days on market is over 30. It was, I like to talk about, you know, during COVID, days on market was 7, and that was actually artificial. So that was a frenzy, and that was a time when everybody was trying to get out of the big urban centers like Ottawa and Toronto, and they all thought that our region, you know, Napanee or Loyalist Paris or Frontenac or Kingston or Gann or anywhere was a great place to get away from the big urban cities. And we had a frenzy of real estate here. So you could have put it on the market and sold it that day, and there'd be one day on market. At that time, we were also deploying a strategy where we would put it on the market and say we weren't going to accept or review or consider any offers for 7 days, so that essentially you created a bidding competition and you would get the price over the typical asking price. That was happening back then. That is not happening in all cases right now. In some cases it's happening, but in not all cases. Basically, most are looking at just over 30 days right now. If you've got a good product at a good price, there are houses that are still selling. I'm going to jump to some statistics while I'm talking about this. As of today, there were 309 homes that sold in July 2026. So right now, today is August 31st. The most recent available stats is July 2026, which is interesting because it's exactly the same number of houses that sold in July 2025. The interesting issue, though, is there are 1,500 active listings, and that is the highest July inventory in a decade. So the message in that is that we're actually kind of in a balanced market, but I'm going to lean on more of a buyer's market because there is so much choice. We currently have 4.9 months of inventory sitting there. So that means that if every house that is currently on the market sells, we would not run out of houses for people to buy for essentially 5 months. So that's the statistics behind that. And you know, we are in a place where it is, there's lots of choice, like I've talked about, and a buyer can go out there and buyers can get conditions. And one of the tricky things to stick handle, particularly for realtors, is we're back to a place where people are accepting offers that are conditional on the sale of their buyer's house. So I'm in one right now, and I like to call them domino sales. So my house that I'm representing the seller is sold conditional on their buyer's house selling, which is also conditional on their buyer's house selling, which is up for sale in Amherstview, and it's stuck. And so I need somebody to buy this house in Amherstview because it is going to make all the dominoes fall for three other families to be able to move. So there's at least three, if not four, agents involved in these domino transactions waiting for the one pin to fall. And so we can all get these people moved. But that's a really tricky thing to stick handle. And honestly, it ended up that my people were supposed to have their deal firm up on Friday that just passed, and the buyers of theirs couldn't firm up because their buyer couldn't firm up, and so on and so forth. And they came back and asked us for another 30-day extension. Now, there's some pros and cons to all of this because there is a school of thought that if your home, the way a real estate agent sees it is it'll show on our system as sold with escape clause, which basically means that you've accepted an offer, but it's on the condition of your buyer selling their home. You have the right to continue to sell and market your home. And if you get another offer to your liking, you have to give the first buyer 48 or 24 hours notice, and they have to firm up on their deal, whether they've sold or not, or that deal goes void and you can now get into the second one officially. Most people can't afford to carry two homes. So in most cases, when that notification is issued, the first deal fails and you can go into the second one. Now, you wouldn't take a second one that was also conditional on the new buyer's house selling. That would be silly. All this to say is that some people look at it and go, nah, forget it. I'm not going to show that house because it's already conditionally sold. I'm not that person. I will always go look at a house that is conditionally sold with an escape clause because you know there's an in. And if you know your buyer doesn't have one to sell, then you're actually a stronger offer, even if it might be a little bit less money because it's more certain to the seller. Truth be told, that's actually how I got into the current home that I live in. So the house that I live in now was conditionally sold with an escape clause. And back when I bought it, I wasn't a realtor, so I didn't even know what that meant. However, I learned what it meant was we didn't have one to sell. And we said, fell in love with our house. It was one of those moments where my husband and I didn't even have to speak. We just looked at each other and he looked at our realtor at the time and said, how do we make an offer on this? She said, do you want to look do you want to talk to Sherry? And I looked at him and her and said, nope, we're good. Let's buy it. This is a fantastic house. We still live in it 15 years later. So we're very happy we had that magic moment. People should, when they walk into their new home, feel that way. And so we made an offer that was not conditional on the sale of ours. The first buyers had to get 48 hours notice. They were not happy about it. Let's just put it that way. They really wanted the home as well. And somehow, and this was 15 years ago, so I don't know what the rules were, but somehow they found us and they actually like tried to approach us and convince us to not take the home away from them. And although we have compassion, we also really wanted this home and location for our family. So we did bump them. And that is how we got into our current home that we're living in now. That said, the people were asking whether or not we'd give an extension. And some people will say, well, you get less showings when you're showing on the realtor system as conditionally sold. I disagree with that personally because I'm the realtor who still go show it. That all said is we don't want to tie ours up in another conditional sale for another 30 days. So essentially what I suggested to my sellers is, listen, it's one of the quietest weeks in real estate right now at the end of August. There's very little activity on anything. So it's not like you're not getting showings that are actually happening for other houses. Let's give them until after Labor Day. And then if all these dominoes haven't fallen, let's just release from this one and put it back on the market because we're all hopeful there's going to be a crop of new fall buyers out there and that the market is going to start to move a little bit more quicker than it has been. So let's just give them one more week and see what happens because apparently there is some interest in the Amherst View house. So there seems to be some people threatening, I'm using air quotes, to make an offer on that one, which would make our dominoes fall. But then we will go back to our original buyers and say, listen, if we're still on the market, when yours finally sells, and maybe that's now mid-September or something like that, we'll still honor the offer that we accepted. We just can't tie ours up any longer in what's called a sale of the purchaser's property, SPP offer. We just want to make sure that we can get ours sold for my people. So there's lots of strategy, and I know that's a lot of words and a lot of talking. What we're talking about essentially today is some great examples of how things go to the extremes. So we can have some that take a year or two to sell, depending on the product, the price, and the offering. We can have some that take a day to sell. We can have everything in the middle, but kind of the norm is, you know, 30 to 60 days right now, again, depending on what you have to offer. You probably should not go to market with a price that is higher than what you're willing to take and realize you're going to be in a negotiation. People, it's just not working at this time. You need to be exactly where you need to be. The market is very price sensitive. There's buyers out there, but they're smart. And like we talked about, they have choice. Recently, I heard a realtor who's very seasoned, probably been in the industry for 40 years in our area, so I really respect and admire the things that he says, but he essentially says that he said to his clients, and I'm going to steal it, that if you have been on the market for 10 days and you've had 10 showings and no offer, then there's probably something that needs to be adjusted about your product or about your price. So maybe your house needs cleaning, maybe you need to mow the lawn, maybe the ugly pink room that you thought was going to be okay is not okay, maybe your price is too high. But if it's 10 days and 10 showings and you've had no offer, then it is very likely you need to adjust something. So I love that and I thank him for that. Where things are coming from these days or why people are moving is interesting. So I thought I'd just end on that because people are moving for a lot of different reasons, but life is still happening. Even though we're in a difficult economic and political time, life is still happening to individuals in their homes and in their lives. So one couple that I currently have their house up for sale, they are moving because they needed a single level living. The husband of the family has got some progressive aging issues, and so he's not going to be able to do the stairs in his prior home any longer. I have another couple who are moving because they've decided that the town that they're in just isn't the one for them. I have another couple who have moved because they want to be closer to family. I actually have a couple of those who want to be closer to family, and that's a huge reason that people move is because they want to be closer to family. We have people who are selling some investment properties and liquidating. We also have some people who had a cottage and a home and and decided that they didn't want to maintain both. So they bought another property, which serves as both things to them so that they can decrease their workload, particularly as they age as well. There's lots of reasons. Like I said, you know, the world is still happening for people, regardless of, you know, what the news is saying on a macro level or what the economy is doing on a macro level. Life is still happening to individuals. And so we're making sure that we get people moved in the way that they want to be moved and the appropriate way, I guess, that they want to be moved and where they want to get themselves to. So with that, I do wish you and everyone you know a great day finding your way home.
she'd be blue. If she were a feeling, it'd be sex, the moment right before it's through. If she were the queen of reminding you what's real and in your dreams, like a river or an ocean. She is water, rushes in and rolls away. She's a high tide on your emotions, 'cause her love only comes in.
That was Elise Davis, a Little Rock, Arkansas native now based in Nashville, with Waves, a track from her 2021 album, Anxious, Happy, Chill. The show opened with the always unique and interesting Beck with the song Morning, which can be found on his 2014 Grammy Award-winning album Morning Phase. Now, Beck actually took home two Grammys that year, one for Best Rock Album and a second for Album of the Year, beating out Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Ryan Adams, U2, and the Black Keys. Hello, everyone, and welcome to No Chords Barred, 90 minutes of music that'll take you around the globe and back through time, this week going as far back as 1989. Now, I'm your host, Donald Finnegan, and with every show, you'll hear an eclectic mix of mainstream, alternative, and independent artists all scrambled together to hopefully show that quality music exists in many different places and from many different sources. Now, my personal hobby is independent music, evidenced by my other show, The State of Independence, which focuses solely on independent artists. But over the course of finding music for that show, I have found a treasure trove of music not quite right for it, but that still doesn't get airplay on mainstream radio. So I use this show primarily as a platform to help get that music into listeners' ears. At the same time, I mix in some of my favorite tunes from mainstream artists from the past five decades. So we'll start this next set with one of them. This is Patti Smith with Jubilee from her 2001 album, Trampin'.
Oh, glad day to celebrate 'neath the cloudless sky. There's so sweet, water pure, fields ripe with rye. Come on, come on, gather round, discard your Sunday shoes. Come on now, on my land, be a Jubilee. Come on, girl, come on, boy, be a Jubilee. Oh, my land, oh, my good people, don't be shy.
In the future, we stand in the midst of fury and weariness. Who dreams of joy and radiance? Who dreams of war and sacrifice? Our vital realms are being squeezed, curtailing civil liberties. Recruit the dreams that sing to thee, that freedom.
Oh my. daily wonder.
Yeah, you and your half-moon eyes.
day. You and your starlight smile, white as the river Nile, like no earthly treasure, it shines on forever. Yeah, you and your starlight smile.
Be the place, and if I cannot find. not gonna love you anyway.
That was one of my favorite American songwriters in May Early Wine, with one of her many side collaborations known as 10 Good Songs. The track we heard was Anyway, the title to their 2020 full-length album. Before that, we heard Winnipeg's The Brothers Landreth with Half Moon Eyes from their 2025 album Dog Year. And it pains me to say the late Glenn Hansard with Didn't He Ramble from his 2016 album A Season on the Line, still trying to get used to the fact that he's no longer with us. The incomparable Patti Smith began the set with the song Jubilee from her 2001 album Trampin'. This is No Chords Barred with me, Donald Finnegan, and I'll be right back after this short break.
CNIB is hitting the road to bring its innovative programs and technology to you. Drop in to meet CNIB staff and learn more about free programs and resources for people who are blind, deafblind, or have low vision. Explore assistive tech with hands-on product demos and workshops. Tuesday, September 1st, 2026, 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Kingston Public Library, 130 Johnson Street, Kingston.
Join CFRC 101.9 FM for our Airwave YGK concert happening September 20th from 1 till 4 p.m. at the Broom Factory. Catch amazing local rockers Squid Pistol, The Winter in Canada, and headliners Lumpfish at this high-energy, all-ages concert. Tickets are $15 in advance or $20 at the door, and you can get your advance tickets now at CFRC.ca. See you there, punks.
Communication is everywhere, but what is it? Communication is how you share your thoughts, your opinions, your culture, from what you see on TV to what you post online. But what about the people who are not being seen or heard? AMI is a media company that strives to be a voice for Canadians with disabilities, whether it's through positive portrayal, reflection, and accessible media. AMI believes everyone should be included, and that includes you. AMI is inclusion. Experience AMI at amiplus.ca.
It's 11 a.m. on a Monday morning, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from Kingston, Ontario.
Welcome back to No Chords Barred. We'll start this next set with a band that hit its commercial peak with its debut album in 1996. Now, technically, it did go